live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I am fired up today. Cofield and Company. NBA, baby! Last night, we called it. We called it. We'll tell you what we called in just a couple minutes. We called it when Greg was in on Tuesday. Made sure to put that video out. Make sure you check out the show lives on after these 3 hours. I feel like we're doing stuff 20 hours a day. Not in terms of like hard work, but there's videos out there all the time. So yeah, we'll tell you what we called when it comes to the NBA on Tuesday. Salerno's here. Greg Salerno, other known as Bubba. From Hank FM, that's his full-time job, 94.7. I want to remind everyone that we've got a big Hank launch. That's our brand-new country station. We're going to have some tickets to give away, more tickets for the exclusive Palms Shindig with country singer Dina Carter. But, you know what? I don't know everything about Las Vegas, and I've been here a long time, but I'm ashamed to say there's a lot of stuff in Vegas that I haven't tried. Like, I've tried almost all the bars and restaurants. That's my specialty. Mm-hmm. But Griage, your alter ego, he yes. goes out and explores. And, like, some of the places you've explored that are close by, never been there. Yeah. Probably won't ever go there. We do have an event every year here. And I'm guessing maybe you're tied in, or you're going to find out maybe the day before that you're tied into El Dorado.
I'm sure.
With the Hank.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
You sent over El Dorado.
Yeah. It's actually it was first created in 1935, and it's the only parade ever created by Las Vegas themselves. So the first and ever and only parade they've ever produced. It was actually created back then because there was everybody working on the dam, obviously, and they were trying to attract workers to come to the town. So they put this parade on, and it's like a country western type, you know, motif. And then they discontinued it back in the 90s, did it again early 2000s, discontinued it again, and now it's back again after 30 years. Of not being around.
So you're like, are you fully, like, vested in this Hank thing? I saw you with a cowboy hat. Those look like expensive boots. What are you, like a size 20, like your Shaq's foot?
Yeah, size 15? Size 15 boot.
So I don't know where the hell you get boots. Are boots more expensive when you're a mega foot?
Yeah, I ordered them online, though, and I thought they were going to be, like, really high boots, but they came.
Are they little ankle boots?
Dude, they're like Daisy Duke would wear them or something. So I had to, like, put the jeans over them.
Okay.
So you can't really tell when I have the jeans on, but if I didn't have them on, I would look like Lil Nas in that video or whatever.
Did you already own boot-cut jeans?
Yeah, I did.
You did.
Well, I have like two or three pairs of jeans that I wear to comedy shows when I do them like twice a year when I have to pull them out of the closet or whatever.
Sure.
So I do have jeans for that, and I just wore those. I did order a new shirt, though, that's kind of cowboy looking. And then the hat I thought was going to be this big old hat because it's
pretty small. I noticed
it's a pretty little hat, dude. It looks like almost like a hat you put on your dog or something. Because like I saw in the picture, there was like a guy with his like foot up on a truck. You know, and he looks all big, has like some hay in his mouth. The hat looks all cool. I ordered it from Amazon. It comes in this little tiny box. I'm like, there's no way this is a whole cowboy.
Is that like
hat.
A little person on a mini truck?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it might have been.
The model was
it's
small.
It's like when they use the guy with the little hands for the burgers in the commercials, so the burger looks bigger. I think the guy was tiny. I don't know.
So you don't have an official Hank cowboy hat?
I mean, I have the one that I ordered from Amazon, but that's, you know.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the hats before.
Yeah.
That's a whole different league in terms of the cost. Like, people don't realize.
Dude.
And I have to go back and look. There's a very famous song about touching someone's hat. Like, don't touch someone's hat.
Oh, yeah, that's like I got kicked out of I probably shouldn't say because I'm going to be doing a remote there soon.
Did you jack with someone's hat?
Yeah, I was dancing around being a goofball, and I tried to dance with some guy's girlfriend drunk at a country bar in town a long time ago, and he started getting mad, so I took his hat off, put it on my head, and I was like dancing around like being a
snake. Not good.
Yeah, it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, it was Chris Ledoux who sang about this cowboy's hat and kept warning the person, like, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. Like, you're going to bring hell with this. Like, this hat means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Your hat, not so much.
They don't like it. Yeah, I noticed.
Okay. Hat budget on the way.
You can have my hat, though, by the way, if you want. I'll throw it to you in the crowd.
Are you going
to
give it away?
Yeah, I might. I'm going to throw it out like I graduated.
I'm going to be at that pool shindig as well. I think Hugh is as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what I was going to wear.
Yeah.
Because I have a couple of cowboy hats that I bought at the swap meet for $5.
Are they good size?
They're basically for the pool.
Okay.
So one has just been folded up every year.
Right.
But I'll look like a horse's ass. I may just go with some sort of, maybe I'll just have the hair flowing.
You should.
Right? The bald spot. Yeah. I'll do a little comb over. Won't get a cut this weekend.
Put a, you know, a lot of people from the South put a flower in their hair or something.
I would look very nice with a flower in my hair.
I think that'd be cool.
In the spirit of Dina Carter.
Right? You could be real country with it. No hat. Go with the headband around the head. Real Florida Georgia Line type style. Yeah.
I have an American flag bandana, which is a code violation, a flag code violation, but
they don't seem to care.
It's cooling.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you'll be the only one there wearing that, though. I think you should go to something unique.
Might do that.
You know?
We'll see. I'll come up with something.
All right.
I do have...
Now I'm excited to see what you wear. It's kind of like the Met Gala now.
Yeah, there is a possibility. I did buy... I don't think I have any Daisy Duke type. I might wear Daisy Dukes.
You should. Why not? You know?
I got a nice tuchus.
It's going to be warm.
Have it hanging out the bottom.
Yeah.
It's a new trend. You see that in the casinos a lot of times. You walk around and you're like, well, okay.
You mean with dudes?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies. Of all sizes, by the way.
I'm just going to say that.
I look up and I'm like, okay.
I was driving into work today and there was a woman, and it's hot outside, don't get me wrong, and I know I'm a large man. She was, I don't want to be mean, but like she was wearing clothes that were not holding in all her stuff.
I don't care. You know, do what you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me.
All right.
No. I don't do that, but you know.
I don't because it's embarrassing to me.
I have a thing called shame.
I wish I had that kind of confidence.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
So you just mentioned big, right? So this is a big, big week for O-linemen.
Yeah.
We're going to hit the tush push hard because this is your day. I know. As an Eagles fan, you deserve it. We're going to celebrate. We're going to talk about what happened here. We're also going to line up targets. All those teams who voted against, or check that, voted to ban the tush push.
Yeah.
Never forget. Hashtag never forget.
Yes.
Freaking screw them. Apparently, Fox has a, check that, the NFL has a new, this was NFL on Fox that announced it, is debuting a new season, end of the season award called the Protector of the Year.
I like it a lot. I think that's cool.
I wonder what goes into it.
I know. I don't know. But I know O-linemen are very underappreciated. I know we talk about them a lot. I mean, money-wise, they get paid. Don't get me wrong. But as far as fans and stuff, we don't usually appreciate them. So I think this is great. I like it.
I'm very appreciative of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I don't think most NFL fans can name the five guys across. But I know from covering UNLV up close, I'm almost annoying to the coaches, past and present. Because I'm always charting, like, who's getting who, like, what's going on here? And they're like, nothing said yet. Relax. Stop saying there's a group of ones. Like, oh my God, the guy's been on the four line, is playing left guard today.
Yeah.
I get very excited. Because it really is. It's the linchpin to a team. And it clearly, when the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl, they've been pretty good on the offensive line. When they've had disasters, which they did, the line was not good.
Yeah.
So they've been kind of creative and trying to, you know, in flux, trying to fix the line. The Eagles have had pretty good consistency, and when they've needed a retool, they've had guys there. So I love that, a protector of the year award. And, yeah, focus more on offensive linemen. And for me, the tush push thing, I think the most insulting part of it was the constant repeating of it's not a play of skill. F you.
Yeah, stop it then.
But for offensive linemen, it's like a smack in their face.
I know.
To be able to do that play, that is a skill play for the big fellas.
It's silliness. It's really just silliness, and it's hating because they can't do it. Like, you just hate us because you ain't us, basically, is what it is. If you could do it, you'd be doing it.
Yep.
So.
Weak sauce.
Yep.
Real weak.
Especially, like, these guys like Luvu and these guys making comments. Go away.
Okay, what do we call on Tuesday?
That the Pacers match up very well against the Knicks, and that Thibodeau teams – getting late in games, a lot of times collapse.
We have a couple videos out. One got posted overnight by our vast digital crew that said, we called it. And the video starts out with me talking about Tyrese Halliburton equals Reggie Miller. And my God, I didn't think it would be that prophetic.
I know.
That the moment would turn out to be similar, and then he would do the freaking choke sign too.
It was great.
That's incredible.
It was great.
And I'm telling you, as I'm tracking the game, I see the Knicks are up 10 with like 8 minutes left. And I was like, let's see. And I really didn't even process because I hadn't known the numbers of how ridiculous the Pacers have been in comeback spots.
Right.
More of it was, as an old head, I'm like, this freaking Knicks organization feels like it's jinxed going back 30 plus years. I was extolling the virtues of Jalen Brunson as Mr. Clutch. But you know what? He didn't play well down the stretch with turnovers. The other guys didn't defend. They're missing free throws. It set it up. And I guess as it turns out, not only Halliburton, but freaking Aaron Nesmith
when it counted the most, it was like, I think he said it was like throwing it into the freaking ocean. Right. He could not miss from three.
I know.
But a lot of my setup was the poor freaking Knicks and their fans, they've just – and clutch is not a real thing like that you can really quantify.
Yeah.
But it feels like it exists with the Knicks in being non-clutch.
Man, I got a lot of friends in Indiana, and you know they're obviously Pacers fans, most of them. One of them sent me a video of – I guess there was a watch party at Radio City Music Hall. And just watching the Knicks fans as the Halliburton shot goes in, oh, it's just it's so much joy. It's great.
That shot was incredible.
It was. It's great. The way he even created separation on the shot was incredible.
That was incredible.
I know.
Like, who dribbles hard in the lane is like, oh, reverse course.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if he thought it was like, hey, it was a blockade in front of him, or he's like, oh, crap, I need to get three.
Yeah.
Which he didn't. To get three. Then he didn't get three because his foot was still on the line. But he basically, that wasn't really a fully formed shot because he thought he had to get it off quicker. Then how many times, like even playing pickup basketball, but go to the highest level, college and then the NBA, how many times do you see near three-point shots hit the back rim, go that high?
I know.
Because you know there are people in the crowd who are like, oh, my God, in slow motion. Because if you look, there were a lot of crowd shots videos.
Yeah.
There were shots from outside at their viewing party. And I'm telling you, when it hit the back rim, people were like, yeah!
I know.
We got it!
Exactly.
Win it. Oh, no!
I know. It's exactly it.
It went in.
Yeah.
How many shots do you just see in just everyday basketball carom not high off the back of the rim?
I know. The closest thing I can come to it would be, and it wasn't even that high, but the Kawhi shot against the Sixers when he kind of hit it and it bounced around for a while and then kind of went in. That seemed like 10 hours to me watching it bounce around.
But the difference there is that was a corner jumper.
Right.
So there really is no – you're not going to throw a long shot
off the
thinner part of the rim.
Yeah.
The freaking meat behind the rim for the ball to bounce that high. You know when you see that? The ball then flips over the backboard.
Normally, yeah. Usually it's
out
of bounds. It
went straight up. Was there a wind at MSG?
I don't know.
How the hell did it go in?
Maybe there's a fan behind the backboard or something.
Oh, my God.
And Kawhi's was a corner. So, like, it set itself up better for that iconic picture we got with Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard. Everybody just sitting there waiting to see what happened.
Yeah.
I hope we get something like that. I know he was like smack dab in the middle of the court, but there's got to be a picture out there that's going to go viral because of just how iconic the shot is.
Yeah.
It's one of the great games of all time, one of the great comebacks of all time, one of the great moments of all time, and the fact that it happened at the self-dubbed Mecca.
I know.
Is tremendous. Knicks fans get their hearts broken again. And for NBA fans, the guy who was dubbed the most overrated player in the league is the guy who does it.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton.
I know. I'm rooting for him, man, because he seems like a good dude. And after the getting voted, you know, the overrated thing, and now he's just, man, he's clutch. He's, like you said, like we thought Brunson was the clutch guy. This dude is something else.
Did you see that Caitlin Clark got involved? Why not?
What did she say? I didn't see that she got involved.
She went to Twitter. She tweeted out reaction. And she said, quote, Pacers are the greatest comeback team I've ever seen. You know, prior to this and this Pacers run.
Yeah.
Teams were 1-1657. Being down 7 in the final minute of a game. One win in 1,658 tries.
Yeah.
The Pacers have done it 3 times this year.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, that kind of stat, you're like, wait, are they the greatest comeback team of all time? When you think comebacks,
yeah,
do you think basketball or is the first thing you think of football?
Mostly football, because basketball is such a game of runs. Like, a lot of games are comebacks, you know what I mean? Not like this, obviously, with this ridiculous. But there's a lot of, like, runs where, like, a team's down by 20 at the half, and all of a sudden it's a tie game, you know, 5 minutes after the second half starts. So it's kind of like these comebacks happen a lot during basketball games. So I think normally I think football, but in this case, this is a very, I mean, you know.
She's saying team, too, in terms of comebacks.
Right.
So it's not like we could go with – Oilers-Bills.
Yeah.
You know, that comeback where you're like, the game's over.
Right.
You know, big comebacks from way down. But when you've done it multiple times inside of 2 and 1 minute, I think football, and then I start thinking about some of the great quarterbacks of all time. And the guys, again, when you talk about clutch, the quarterbacks over the course of my lifetime, if they got the ball back with 2 or 1.5 minutes left, you're like, man, they're going to win.
Yep. 13 seconds sometimes.
But like Halliburton is, I don't know, Tom Brady and Mahomes. He just keeps delivering over and over and over again as a team. Now you mix in Neesmith with 6 threes in the fourth quarter.
Right.
It was just, it's incredible. I do think there's a lot to delve into, though. That was a big celebration for one win.
I was going to ask you that. Do you think that?
I think it's very dangerous.
Well, because, but it's also kind of crushing to the Knicks, right? Because you're at home and you're thinking, you know, this is your, because how many games are the Knicks going to be up by that much that late in the game? They got to think to themselves, like, man, we had them. Is that kind of like, deflating?
I would say if they have a fourth quarter lead that's anywhere between 7 and 12 points with, like, less than 7 minutes left, they're going to be absolutely thinking about it.
Yeah.
Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100. Yeah, we got that big Hank launch party. We've got a new country station, 94.7 FM. Big party down at the Palms Pool. Country afternoon, show in the evening with Dina Carter. Caller 6 and 7, two prize packs here. Caller 6 and 7. We'll get a 4-pack of tickets to go see Dina Carter, hang out with Bubba over here, Bubba Salerno, the big star on Hank FM, and all the other stars of Lotus Broadcasting, like Hugh Myers, will be out there as well. Caller 6 and 7. Caller 6 and 7, 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So, full Raider squad in camp. You know, not official camp, but they're in. So, the whole team, as they get healthy, start to blend in, new players, rookies, guys like Geno Smith. We're also watching recoveries of guys who were hurt last year. That was part of the Raider season that, you know, really went down the toilet because so many guys, like basically their whole defensive line, got dinged up. So, we'll get into this more when we go behind the patch with Adam Hill around 5:30. But I was reading tweets and reports and video yesterday. Christian Wilkins not out there on this. You know, he's out there, but he's, you know, no helmet. He's not out there, right? He's got a foot injury. I mean, this foot injury is pretty early on. I mean, it's something's going on here, and you're just looking for updates. I mean, this is a guy who's making, you know, boku bucks. He was a big free agent signing, $30 million plus, supposed to be, you know, one of the top 3 defensive tackles in football. They get him back. I mean, that's, you know, like adding a free agent, which he's supposed to be, and it's a big deal. So last week, Sports Illustrated reported from their fan correspondent, quote, talking to people within the organization, there isn't any fear or concern or anything with Christian Wilkins. Nobody has any concerns that he's not going to be there when the season starts. I was told at this point, it's a lot about nothing. He's talking about Christian Wilkins and his foot injury.
Yeah, he's this has been a difficult recovery, and he's done everything he needs to do. He's been here every day. He's here early, working hard, but we're still working it, and he's not ready to get back out. And, you know, we're in the midst of a long, challenging process here. So fortunately, there's a lot of time, and we're going to take every bit of it. We've really tried to be really diligent about the way we've worked it and the way we've monitored it and all of that, and he's been on board the whole time. But it has been challenging.
Report. Talking to people within the organization, there isn't any fear or concern or anything with Christian Wilkins. Pete Carroll, this has been a difficult recovery. He's not ready to get back out there, and he's in the midst of a long, challenging process. What?
Some crack reporting. It's confusing. I know that. And
can we use the word?
Concerning?
No, on the confusing. No, confusing is easily replaced by completely inaccurate.
Oh, yeah.
Or you didn't talk to Pete Carroll, because that sounded like pretty worried about it. We're in the midst of a long, challenging process. Now, I'm not here to say Christian Wilkins is not going to be back for the beginning of the regular season. I don't know. But clearly, they're worried about it. There has to be some complications here that are lengthening the process. It's like we tell people all the time, be very careful with who you rely on when you're getting your sports news. People who are actually out there and talk to higher-ups are to be trusted. Others who report at a distance, you better be careful.
Is there any possibility here, though, that – because I know a lot of times the Eagles, a guy will stub his toe, and they'll be like, we don't know, could be 3 to 4 weeks, you know, and the guy's like, I'd practice the next day. I mean, is it possible it's like subterfuge of some kind or
– maybe.
Yeah.
I don't understand the purpose of it.
In the offseason.
In May.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, I might do that the first week of, you know, August. He's not out there, and it's like, yeah, it could be an issue. And then you're right. Because that definitely, in baseball, that happens all the time.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he's like, you know, shoulder, arm, oblique, 5 weeks, and then he's back in 9 days.
Right.
But there's no advantage to, like, keeping some big secret in May. There's no games coming up.
Well, then you got to wonder who they're talking to. Like, who are they getting this information from?
But it's concerning because of this. This is supposed to be the freaking building block of this team, is that defensive line. They spent a lot of money. They've invested in Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby and Kuntz, who I think is, you know, way ahead in the recovery. But they got to play.
Yeah.
They got to play. Like, their offense is going to be better, but their defense, like, clear, that's the unit that I think you're counting on to be a top 13 unit, top 10 unit with the kind of talent they have.
Top 10 for sure. Yeah, I would say top 10.
So their $30 million defensive tackle is still not back after a long injury from a year ago. And the other scary part is, you know, when you, whether it's, you know, guys who are like 6'9" or guys who are 320 pounds, foot injuries.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's true. Like in basketball, a lot of times, like a big man, if he gets a hurt foot, you're like, oh, great. Well, might as well just put him out of his misery because that guy's done.
Yeah. You can break a hand. You can have a busted shoulder, but for a D lineman, offensive lineman, if you cannot move, your feet are compromised, you're not going to be having a good game. Not maybe even a bad season.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Salerno, Cofield, Griffin, Finley Toyota Studios. We're going to check in Chicago with Xavier Pope on a bunch of legal issues. Also, the war that was between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and has become so much more. I think what the NFL has going on and the run to the Super Bowl is the greatest thing that we have in American sports. That said, I've been doing sports talk radio a long time. And going back to the late 90s, I've actually said this, but I'll say it again. As a kid, I knew that college football was stupid in the way they decided the champion. Like, I remember at like 13 or 14 years old, I'm like, wait, there's two number one teams? Or there's a one and two team that are unbeaten, they don't play each other? I'm like, this is dumb. And over the years, I was like, we have to have a tournament. And when we got the tournament, my belief is the tournament will be the second biggest thing in all of American sports. And they're still tweaking it. What they did today, I don't think guarantees anything, so let's not read into it too much. But it absolutely was a bully situation where last year they guaranteed the highest four ranked conference champions the top four seeds. Well, they gaffed on that because the ACC didn't finish in the top four. They're one of the power four, so Boise got in, but the ranking was low. So they got the four seed as the 12th ranked team. They got rid of that today, which means that the group of five conferences, Greg, are each represented. And they had to say yes. So there is a concession we should talk about. But now it's going to be we can't say true because it's still
– Yeah, it's so still uneven. And
it's an opinion.
Right.
But they're going to do a straight, you know, 1 through 12, which means that multiple conferences can be in the top four. I think the crappy thing they did – Notre Dame's not in a conference, and they've been stubborn. Like, hey, we have our own TV deal. Screw the rest of college football. We're going to play by our own rules. And they kind of stuck it to them over the years. They're like, all right, you want to play by the rules? We reward conference champions. What conference are you in? You're not? Well, then guess what? You're not getting a high seed. Well, this now opens it so Notre Dame can be a top four seed, which I think is kind of bullcrap.
You don't think they should be able to be?
I actually think they should be dinged and penalized for not being in a conference, for playing by their own rules.
Yeah. It's so tough.
I mean, ultimately, if we want to see what this panel thinks are the top 12 teams, play a true 12-team tournament with the top four seeds getting byes and then 5, 12, 6, 11, 7, 10, 8, 9, sure. They've got that now.
It just seems like it's so hard. Like, it's never going to be perfect because in college, it's just not even competition. Like, certain teams are playing in conferences that aren't the same competition as others. They're playing teams that aren't the same competition as others.
Right.
So it's going to be so hard, but I think this is the closest – I can think of right now to get to where they want to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you say that, though, but there are schools in the group of five conferences, as it's called, who are like, please invite us to the Power Four. Let's go. They won't do it.
Yeah.
It's not like they – I'm not saying they could compete right away, but we've seen a bunch of Mountain West Conference schools. The old Mountain West Conference has teams littered all over the Big 12 now, and they do fine.
Yeah, it's true.
Hell, if you remember, TCU was a Mountain West Conference team, and then they're playing for a national championship a couple of years ago. So this set thing where, like, hey, only these schools are legit, there's upper mobility. So the one concession they did offer is if the group of five rep is actually one of the top highest four ranked conferences, they do get an additional payout. So they're not getting screwed out of the money, and that was important to fight for. This part of the show is brought to you by Jackson's Bar and Grill, 6020 West Flamingo. Flamingo and Jones, best steak deal in town. Garlic marinated bistro filet for $20. 1 pound ribeye for $20. Veggie of the day. Choice of seven different sides as well. Great menu. 24/7. Great sports spot. Really cool spot to hit before and after events down on the strip. It's real close. Flamingo and Jones, Jackson's Bar and Grill.
Miss any part of your favorite radio show? Catch up at lvsportsnetwork.com.
What's up? It's Tyler Bischoff from the Press Box coming up on the show tomorrow. Did Oklahoma City take a 2-0 lead over Minnesota, or did Anthony Edwards take it to the Thunder and steal a game on the road? Plus, will the Knicks recover and win game two, or is Indiana going to roll through Madison Square Garden? Will Tyrese Halliburton have more choke-worthy shots? And is Chip Kelly going to change Aston Jeanty? All of that tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m. Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo.
So what's the scenario? Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
All right, let's bring in EP from Chicago. Xavier, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, what's up, Steve?
A whole lot. NBA, certainly, with that game last night. Give me your take on what happened to the Knicks.
They happened upon a really great Indiana Pacers team that has more collective experience in the playoffs playing for this moment. I think that that's something that we have to recognize. I've talked about it on Threads. The experienced teams know how to snatch leads even when they're down and still play together, still have guys come up and have big moments. That's what happened to the Knicks. But Tyrese Halliburton said they choked. So, and that people can definitely say that it happened. But they played a team that just knows how to get it done down the stretch and have a clutch guy who has been lethal in a clutch in the playoffs this year. Austin, Tyrese.
Do you worry that Halliburton pulled out the choke too early in the series?
No, not really. He was imitating Reggie Miller, see? And so he did that early in the playoffs, and I think that he did that in a game. He didn't do that to finish off a series. I just kind of throwing an homage to a player to having him do that series at this time. I think that, this is New York. You make things bigger. This is Madison Square Garden. It's a lot of showmanship. That's just one game. This is going to be a heck of a series, Steve, and this is just act one.
Xavier Pope on a Thursday. I saw you write on Threads, the Knicks in the finals means a certain someone holding court at MSG. Who's that a reference to? Is that Trump? You said that's the main reason I'm rooting for the Pacers. Who?
Hey, that's what the thread said. You can interpret that how you wish. But I do think that we're gonna have a situation where New York is seen as a place that someone can walk around and strut around like they're the king of New York. The king of the world, if the Knicks make the finals. And I think that just puts a different spin, a different look on a series in terms of maybe an all Midwest finals, middle of heartland of America finals. I don't think that gets marketed or gets strutted around in such a way than New York with all the different shine and where this name made it big with that.
Xavier, there's a couple of lawsuits going on in the news right now, and I wanted to ask you about. One of them is this guy's suing Whataburger for serving him onions. Now, he says that there wasn't listed under allergies, and he's allergic to onions. He's also previously sued Sonic for the same thing. I mean, does this guy have any case at all? Does this ever work? Because, anything could be an allergy, really, I guess.
I've seen this case, and it definitely has a high likelihood of success. Yeah, I mean, in terms of food safety, if you don't have proper food safety, that there are laws and regulations regarding food safety in most, in every single state, in every city. And if you are telling a place that you do have an allergy, now they do have the right to that restaurant to say, here's a disclaimer that we this could cause an allergic reaction to you. But if they don't necessarily have that, and then they are serving the customer, and then they directly go against his wishes negligently, he definitely has a claim, and he definitely will get paid for this. I mean, this is not something that's far-fetched. Is this going, litigation going too far? Put your bank on it. He's going to go to the bank with it.
Wow. All right. Interesting. And the other one is, you know, the guy that got injured at the game, and they're saying now a 21-year-old gave a 20-year-old beer.
This is the Pirates game.
The Pirates game. Yeah. Sorry. The guy fell down. And, you know, I was one. I mean, morally, I feel like, come on, man. The guy gave it. He didn't know. But legally, this guy's probably pretty screwed, right?
He's in my position. If you are at the ballpark, right?
You know,
where someone sneaks and gets a beer. This is someone who had to show his ID. This is someone that you're not going to be walking up to someone offering you a beer and then you're going to ask for ID. So the standard definitely is a little bit lessened for someone in that position, but still the circumstances are pretty awful for him.
EP's with Xavier Pope on this Thursday. I don't know if you saw the video. This one's been making the rounds of a Miami area Uber driver getting irked with two women in her backseat. I think I don't know what she did. She screwed up the location of the drop-off. She pulled a Yui. She got all annoyed. They were arguing with her, and then she pulls out a gun, and, you know, it was on video. They got it screenshotted. What's going to happen to this lady in this case, and really what should happen? We talk all the time about guns, this and that, and there's certainly people who are like, hey, let's be safe with guns. How do we drop the hammer on someone who just thinks it's a freaking toy to be waving around because you're annoyed doing rideshare?
I mean, if I'm this lady's lawyer, because I think it's two ways of looking at it. She was, her safety, she felt threatened after the argument. And we know right off the top, don't assume things are not in evidence. We didn't get the full video where we saw what happened before the altercation happened. Yeah. And so we're seeing it from a standpoint of this, an argument that's ongoing, and then a woman pulls out a gun. So I think that it's important that if you're looking from this woman's standpoint, why aren't you sharing the rest of that video? That's my first question.
Right.
And I'm asking for the rest of that video to show this woman could have potentially been in danger and was defending herself. The second part of that is people shouldn't resort from arguments to guns. And I think that that's how any lawyer that's representing this woman who shared the video would look at it, and this woman went too far in looking to enforce getting out of her car, and she really wasn't worried about her safety. She was being violent.
So getting the rest of the video is really key. How easy is that for the authorities? How easy is that for the defense of this lady to say, hey, we got to get the video, the rest of it from the phone? I'm also of the belief that even if you delete the video, they can still find it.
Yeah, man. Well, that's the situation where it'd be the woman, if she wants to be trying to press charges and knows that this could potentially make her look worse, maybe cooperating in some sort of police investigation and maybe trying to focus more so on the civil aspect of it. And then it would be the responsibility potentially of the lawyer that's representing the woman who pulled out the gun and try to get the rest of the video to try to defend herself and say that, hey, she was in danger. So I think it depends on the type of case being brought and also the interest of those who who would want the video to be seen.
Okay, here's another case where we don't have both sides of the story completely, but Chris Brown was jailed, some sort of violent incident. That's the allegation. And I often think when he gets in trouble, he's still doing residencies here in Vegas. This is part of a world tour. I think he has to be back in court now in less than 10 days at the start of his world tour. I wonder, in a society where sometimes we sort of just take someone and tell them, you know what, you're a woman abuser, you're a violent person, sorry, man, we just don't want to see you as an entertainer, just get out, how Chris Brown is actually about as popular as he's maybe ever been, or at least he's pretty high up there. How has he survived all this?
I just think that people he hasn't had the law catch up to him keeping him in jail.
Yeah.
Right now he's in jail. And just like we talked about last week, the basketball player who could face a firing squad just for weed. If you're in another country, you have to obey the laws of that country. People aren't just going to say, and also they might want to make an example out of you in that country. And you also look at what's going on right now with how we're handling the foreign affairs of this country. It's the worst possible time to do something stupid in another country. You don't know what type of response you might get internationally, also definitely domestically.
Yeah. A lot of people found out when they're abroad, the system doesn't work like the U.S. justice system, and being famous doesn't matter in another country. Brittany Griner found that out, unfortunately, with Putin and Russia. Okay, so we know Xavier Pope, attorney, yoga instructor, top-level vegan chef.
Really?
What is going on here with your summer, and it looks like you're a party host here. This is quite the lineup of events you're involved in.
Yeah, I'm a wellness and lifestyle influencer, man, and that's part of my brand. I mean, I'm bringing these vibes, but I've been doing this for years. I'm hosting two bowl parties. I'm hosting, and I'll be doing yoga poses on top of them. I'm hosting two beach yoga, three at least, next couple of months. Where we're having bottles of mimosas after. I'm hosting a contrast therapy social that's cold plunge mixed with a sauna. The list goes on and on, a spa, champagne event. So I'm just bringing all the vibes to the city of Chicago and also a couple conferences, here in the city. So doing a lot of fun things, Steve, enjoying life, having a good time.
You slipped in the cold plunge. What is that and where is that?
Yeah, so this place, we have a partnership here, Ritual Hot Yoga, the place that I do business development with, and they do – a sauna, you get in there up to 775 degrees, and then you get into a vitamin C shower. Then after that, you get into a cold plunge about 3 to 5 minutes. You get in a super cold tub. You come out.
All right.
I did it. It made me feel so much better. I strongly recommend it. I've been using a professional sports world for years by combining ice and cold treatments for players.
So this week's been fascinating because it started out with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and that whole thing, and I was watching, and I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Sports Talk gods. I'm like, this is going to carry through the whole freaking week, right? That dust up. But now let's push that to the side. What's happened since has been completely fascinating. And I saw at the beginning of the week, a lot of people were confused about why RG3 and Ryan Clark are going at it and what this had to do with racial stuff. And I tried to explain it early in the week. And one of the first things I thought of, can we play this bite, was going back to Rob Parker talking about Russell Wilson. And he got in a lot of trouble for this at the time. Fire this.
Is he a brother or is he a cornball brother?
What does that mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, he's not really. Okay, he's black. He kind of does the thing, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black. He's in the but he's not really like the guy you really want to hang out with.
All right, Ryan Clark and RG3, you have the floor.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Parker, maybe we owe him an apology. He just pretty much caught up for RG3 for demonstrably trying to distance himself from black culture. And him going after and saying he could see some sort of ill part of someone's personhood when he talked about Angel Reese, it definitely was leaning to some really awful stereotypes. And I think that what Ryan Clark and Rob Parker got at was, you have an incentive to feel this way because you're married to a white woman. I don't think that's a precursor to who you're married with in terms of your politics. What they were saying, he's less likely to have some sensitivity. He shouldn't be doing that based on that, and that's how he could potentially be perceived. I think that Ryan Clark was very nuanced how he talked about that, but I do think he didn't carve out the space to make sure that that's not how he. What he meant it to be. And I think that's an important part of that conversation, is to recognize that people can marry and love whoever they want. But if you have certain viewpoints that are denigrating to your own culture, it just kind of makes you like a sellout. It kind of makes you like a corny dude. And that's what really the point was all about.
Can you elaborate a little more about like what Ryan Clark meant? Because I'll be totally honest. Like I don't get a lot of it. It seems to me like he's saying, like, for instance, a coach that can't run really fast can still tell a wide receiver if he's doing the wrong thing or if he's running the wrong route, or he doesn't have to be a wide receiver. Like, I don't understand exactly what Ryan Clark is saying here. And can you explain it a little bit better for dummies like me?
We're not talking about positions in football. We're talking about historical racism, modern culture mixed with politics, mixed with some men women things in terms of how the sport is being followed by some of the guys that are following and that only want to follow sports. They said they didn't want to follow a sport, but now they're following a sport. So there's so many different layers here, but it's all about what is defined as authentic blackness. And I think that sometimes that targets moves, but it's one of those things that you know it when you see it. And when you are putting out statements or saying different things that present African Americans, particularly African American women who, like Malcolm X once said, are the most vulnerable person on the planet, then you put in a situation where you are going to look like a cornball. And I think that's the whole discussion is all about.
What did you think, and we're talking to Xavier Pope about Ryan Clark and RG3 and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. What did you think of Emmanuel Acho quickly stepping in, basically saying, hey, fellas, you got to stop fighting. You're making all of us look bad.
Yeah, and you know, that's Emmanuel Acho, though, man. Can we all get along? That's his brand. You know, he gets criticized a lot for that. And so, I mean, he deserves whatever bars he will get for that. But I can't really knock that at this stick. If that's the style you go on, where you want to be a reconciliation type of person, I'm cool with that in terms of that. As long as you keep your words in respect to the space, that make sure that it calls out people for using some stereotypes. And I think that the root cause of this is RG3 saying something that was highly inappropriate. And I think he deserved to get the smoke for that.
The other internet angle that I think is kind of behind the scenes, but I think it's clear that it's a discussion, is there seems to be with some black men an anger towards black women. And I can't really describe it well, but a kind of a frustration. And I thought that was kind of where it was coming in. It was there's a deeper thing where Ryan Clark's like, how dare you, you know, leave us? And yet there's a lot of guys who backed RG3 and are like, yep, I back him because, you know, women I deal with, man, they're tough.
Yeah, I think that just because a man is just because someone's black doesn't mean they're not going to be against other black people. Namely, that's just because a black man doesn't mean he's not going to be sexist. I think that's the mere sexist in all shades, shape, or form. And so, if they're looking at Angel Reese and trying to look at her and treat her like she's a man, that's unfortunate, and I think it's very sexist. I think that she's a very pretty woman. I think that to be able to put her in a situation that you thuggerize any person, whether a man or a woman, I think that's a really, really low bar in terms of humanity, in my personal opinion.
Last 15 seconds to lighten it up and go back to where we started. SGA is the best player in the world. He is the MVP. He's the best player in the NBA. And on the other side in this series for the Wolves, Anthony Edwards is not ready for prime time.
He needs to take some more shots. And I think that he's trying to pick his spots and trying to, you know, his teammates get involved. But when it comes to this stage in the game, you have to be able to strike first and strike hardest. And he's not been able to show that he's able to do that. It's surprising because he's done that in early parts of the playoffs the last couple of years. But in this situation, he's come up blank. So he needs to be able to shoot more. He needs to be able to be more confident in his game and show us that he's worth all the talk that he's been talking both playoffs.